Maiden Hair and Golden Rain by Stilton Basket, read by Daisy Diversions. Fandom, The Untamed, or Motozusha. Rating, teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. Relationship, Jonyoung Lee / Nae Zongwei. Additional tags for canon divergence, marriage of convenience, in which the Jeans were conspiring with the Wens, and Nae Mingjue did not like that. Nae Zongwei is an actual puppy and I love him. So does Jonyoung Lee. Happy ending. Stilton pushing her maiden Nae Jonyoung Lee agenda. Summary. On the day before she is meant to marry Jin Zi Xuan, Jonyoung Lee marries Nae Zongwei. Author's notes. I'm the only person who ships these two. Someone please come and ship them with me. Title explainer, Maiden Hair, Ginkgo, and Golden Rain are trees that grow in Hebei, Qinghe, and Hubei, Yunmeng. Reader's notes, thank you to Stilton Basket for having blanket permission to podfic. As always. Everyone else, I think Stilton posted this like half an hour ago, and I saw it was Jonyoung Lee as the main character, and I love Jonyoung Lee. And so I just said, you know what? Let's just ice cold read this. So my apologies if there's any mistakes, there will be because it's an ice cold read. So that means that I have not read this before. It's fresh off the presses, and I'm going to do minimal to no editing on this. So I hope you enjoy this cozy Sunday cold read. All right, let's go. If Jonyoung Lee had ever been asked what she hoped her married home would be like, she would have described a place that was very much like Lotus Pier. She did not want a marriage like her parents. Never that. Yun Li often used to wish that their marriage had never taken place, both for Fu Qin's sake and her mother's. But having grown to womanhood in a place where no will governed her mother save her own, she dearly hoped that she would have the same freedom in her capacity as Jinsho Furen. She hoped that she would come to know and love the marketplaces near Jinling Tai as she does the open-air market in Lufeng, and find friends among the women in Lanling whom she could confide in as she confides in her own shimes. But by the time Jonyoung Lee was 12, she knew that the easy future she had dreamed of was never to be. The women of Lanling would never like her, save for her mother-in-law and her allies in Jinling Tai. Most of the girls her own age were half in love with Jin Zi Xuan and resented Jonyoung Lee, whom they thought untalented and plain in comparison to her betrothed, and only worthy of marrying him by virtue of her mother's long friendship with Jin Furen. For the fact that she would one day be the wife of the man they so desired. And nor was she to go freely among the common folk as she did at home. For Madame Jin had very gently and very, very firmly informed her that doing so would expose herself and Zi Xuan to ridicule. It would look as though Zi Xuan and I couldn't care for you properly, she smiled when Yan Li asked if she could meet the local vendors who supplied lotus roots to the Jinling Tai kitchens. Let the servants handle that kind of thing, Ali. We'll find you something else to do. And so, all Yan Li dared to hope for in her marriage was a peaceful home, a child or two, and a mother-in-law's enduring affection. She was wholly reconciled to her future by the day her bridal journey, which had somehow turned out to be the gloomiest dawn Junhyun Lee had ever seen. And thus, she found herself oddly calm and collected when she was obliged to marry a different man that very afternoon. She barely knew Nie Zhongwei. He dined at Fu Qin's table now and then, after escorting Nie Huaisong from Qinghe to Yunmeng, and she had spoken with him at the last Nie Zhongzhu's funeral, when she took one of the youngest mourners to the kitchens for a drink of soup. But when Nie Mingjue burst into Lotus Pier, shouting about a plot to capture Lotus Pier as soon as the bridal barge departed, a plot orchestrated by Wen Rohan and Jing Guanshan, who had long eyed the river routes in Zheng territory as a lucrative source of gold. It was made abundantly clear to Junhyun Lee that the Wen would see any show of military support from the Nie as a blatant threat unless the Zheng and the Nie were bound by marriage.
"If you break off the engagement now, that old lout will smell a rat,"
Nie Mingjue growled as he paced up and down the audience hall.
"In my opinion, he will give up all pretense of friendliness and turn against you openly."
"What would you have us do then?" Father asked him. "We can hardly leave Lotus Pier and wait for the Wens to besiege it. For now, you will put about that Ali is ill. It will buy us some time, and then..."
"It won't buy us enough time," Junhyun Lee heard herself whisper. "I must be freed from the expectation of marrying him at all, and that..."
Nie Mingjue nodded.
"You must marry someone else,"
he said grimly.
"And, forgive me, Zheng Gunyan, to spare the Zheng from suspicion, Wen Rohan must believe that you did not marry of your own will. I cannot marry you myself, for I have my own considerations. But no one will believe that I brought an army all the way here to kidnap you on Huaisong's behalf. So it must be my Tongzhao, Nie Zhongwei. There were rumors about the two of you in Qinghe after you met at my father's funeral, and it is known that Zhongwei's children will be my closest heirs after Huaisong. He is a worthy match for you, judging by rank alone. And to anyone who knew Zhongwei's father, the prospect of Zhongwei stealing a bride will not come as a surprise."
At this, Fu Qin coughed. "Dare I ask why?" The corner of Nie Mingjue's mouth twitched.
"Zhang Zhangzhu might not have heard, since it was hushed up at the time," he said. "But Jing Guanshan's elder brother was betrothed to my Sensen years before he married his wife. The engagement was not well known. I think the late Jin Zhangzhu hoped he could break it. But Jin Guangji was dazzled by my Shenshen's beauty and insisted on seeing the etiquettes through. However, my aunt was unwilling, and on the day, Jin Guangji was meant to come to her home with her betrothal gifts. Shenshen's mother went to wake her and found her abed with my uncle. They had to marry quickly after that, and Jin Guangji never spoke of the engagement afterwards. But Wen Rohan knows how his betrothal ended. Of that you may be sure. And so, if Zheng Gunyan were to marry Zhongwei..."
There was nothing more to say about the matter. Junhyun Lee was married to Nie Zhongwei before the day was out, and sequestered away in her quarters for a hurried wedding night, while her dazed little brothers repacked her jean-style wedding trousseau. "There is no need for us to consummate the marriage,"
he said anxiously, following young Lee to her chest of drawers as she began preparing for bed.
You must only appear unmarriageable in the eyes of Lonely Jin, and our bows were sufficient for that. After the matter with Wen Rohan is settled, you should be free to marry whom you choose.
I know, she replied, but Wen Rohan must be convinced that you have loved me since you were 19, and that your feelings were deep enough for the Nie to risk war with the Jiang for your sake. If he learns that we merely slept on the wedding night, what would be the point?
In truth, they really did do nothing but sleep on the wedding night. But Nie Zongwei pierced his arm with a needle and stained the white silk on their bed with blood before he laid down beside her. And so their marriage was consummated in the eyes of the Zhonghu. She went to her room that night as a maiden and emerged from it a married woman. And although she was obliged to leave for Qingha just 3 days later, a place she barely knew anything about, even now that it was her wedded home, she could not bring herself to fear the long road ahead.
You are not the sect leader or the direct heir, she observed on their way to the unclean realm. Would it be too unseemly if your wife did her own cooking?
Only if you fight Ming Jue Di for his favorite wok in the kitchens, he said, and his eyes were alight with mirth, while his lips almost seemed to smile without smiling. He used it when he cooks for Zewa Jun, and no one but himself is permitted to touch it. If you two were quarreling over that old cauldron, it would be dreadfully unseemly.
At that, a warm glow crept into Yan Li's cheeks, and suddenly she felt as if she had laid down a burden she had carried all her life. The trouble with Qishan Wen does come to open war, in spite of the Jianhu's efforts to avoid it. The Wen strike the cloud recesses first, then Lotus Pier. But neither insult goes unavenged due to Qinghe Nie's bonds with both clans. There are no deaths on the side of the Jiang, though the Gusu Lan suffer uncounted losses. And the long months of tumults that follow lead Yan Li from Qinghe to Jiangling with her husband's battalion, and then northwest to Qishan to prepare for siege on the Nightless City.
You don't need to stay, her husband gasped after everything is over. I heard Jin Zixuan was wounded too. You should go to him.
Yan Li blinks back her tears and reaches for another bandage. Mother is here, and Jun Furen won't be far behind. Jin Zongzhu will be well tended to.
I know, he soothes her, before wincing as she tightens the bandage around his thigh. But I
am where I ought to be, she says,
and that, mercifully, is the end of that. Until... You love me, he says wonderingly, watching through trembling eyelashes as Jun Yun Li lays a wet poultice on his forehead.
You do, don't you? Yes,
Yan Li tells him.
And you have loved me since the day we met at Nie Zongzhu's funeral.
He blinks at her, clearly taken aback.
You knew?
For how long? Since our wedding night, she thinks at first, but then...
You sent birdseed to my guest quarters after the burial, so that I could coax Huaisong's birds up to my bedroom window, she says instead. I think I knew you loved me then, but I could not admit it, not even to myself. Ni Zongwei shut his eyes and kisses her on the brow. And as she kneels by the narrow bed in the field hospital, with Nie Zongwei's hands in hers, Zhongyan Li thinks that she might rightly be called the happiest woman in the world.
Author's notes. I can't resist inserting bits of Nie Lan into all of my works, hence the snippet about Nie Mengjue's favorite walk. Boy, does he love that man. For the fellow Nie Lan stands in the crowd, the Nie Lan Gacha Fragaza is closing on Monday, so make sure to grab one here, link, by March 10th at midnight UTC if you're interested. Come say hi on Tumblr at Stilton Basket and comment to feed your local Xiang Li stan today. And there's a little emoji with carrots for eyes and little blushy marks. Reader's notes. I loved this. This is just such a sweet little nugget. I love a rare pair. And I love genuinely getting what she deserves, which is just a loving home where she can have the freedom to just love on her family, right? And, you know, be able to express herself in her chosen love languages, right? And that is always something I'm really conflicted with in terms of, you know, her relationship with Jin Ji Xuan, right? Because we don't really get a great representation of it in the book because Wei Ying is an unreliable narrator and he hates it. You know, he's really just, you know, so protective and wants the best for his sister. And also he's away from them when he's actually falling in love with her, right? Or when Jin Ji Xuan is actually falling in love with Zhang Yan Li, right? And that whole kind of part of it where she's actually convinced, right? And to fall in love with him again and to make it work. He's gone for that whole part of it in the burial mounds. So really, you know, he gets that awkward conversation on Phoenix Mountain where, you know, Jun and Lee clearly thinks that, you know, Jin Ji Xuan is just kind of making an effort to please his mother. And she's like, don't even worry about it. I'm over it. And he's just like, you know, so awkward and trying to, you know, trying to make it work and not really succeeding. And that's kind of the last thing Wei Ying sees, you know, at least, in terms of what's shared with us in the narrative. And then the next thing he knows, they're engaged. They're getting married and he sees her in the wedding dress, right? So those are the jumps that we have in the novel in terms of what Wei Ying's perspective shares with us about his knowledge around their romance, right? So, you know, obviously I'm colored by that perspective. And, you know, I just want genuinely to have a nice time and, you know, yeah, to get what she deserves and what she wants and to just have a happy life. And you know, so often in, you know, canon era fix, you know, she's destined to die. And obviously that makes sense because she dies in the novel. She dies in the original story, every adaptation of it. So, yeah, that's just something I really value in fan fiction, right? When she does find her way to a happy ending that just feels right to her. And I love this, right, where it's, you know, Jin Ji Xuan is
considered the prize catch of all of the young maidens. And for Junyeon Lee, who has him, you know, she's happy to do her duty, but at the same time, you know, a smaller life where, you know, she can just provide for her family and, you know, take care of her loved ones. Like, that's, you know, that's her actual ultimate happiness, right? And I love that. And, you know, also her strategic mind in this, right, where she's like, oh, this is the value of my marriage, is to use it as a political tool, and this is how we're going to use it in this situation, and just kind of being the first one to kind of be able to kind of navigate that, I think, you know, shows her political savvy, right? And I really like when Fix kind of have Junyeon Lee as, you know, understanding the political side and kind of how to run a sect in a household in a way that, you know, I think that she probably would have been trained, you know, the way that, you know, Jung Chung was probably trained by his mother in terms of how to lead the training part of it and like the kind of the military part of the sect. And then, you know, Junyeon Lee kind of understanding, okay, this is what you're going to take over when you're, you know, you know, the wife of the sect leader in Lanling, right? Like, this is kind of the role in this sect, right? And that's kind of my imaginations. You know, there's a lot in canon about how, oh, Junyeon Lee, you know, she's so weak and, you know, really looked down on by Jin Ji Xuan when they're teenagers because of this, because she didn't really develop a golden core. And I like to think that she was just training in a different way, right? Like, she was preparing for her role as Jin Furen rather than being a great cultivator, and this is how, like, she was concentrating herself. And yeah, that's kind of my own headcanon. So I like when stories kind of play that out, that, you know, she's not just spending all of her time cooking soup. That's obviously part of it. But she's, you know, doing other things with her day. And I feel like this fic does showcase that in a way that I really appreciate, that kind of Junyeon Lee's savviness in that context, but also being willing to be like, yeah, like, whatever we need to do, like, let's do that. And yeah, I really appreciate that. And yeah, this is just really sweet. This is like a backstory of, you know, after the funeral of the sect leader, that, you know, Junyeon Lee just did something really sweet for, a 19-year-old Nie Zongwei, who was, you know, probably pretty upset, and just made him some soup, and he just immediately fell in love with her. And then, you know, Nie Mingzhuai probably knew this information the whole time, and, you know, it just came up, and he was like, oh, kill two birds with one stone, like, let's, you know, screw over the Wen and all, you know, in their plans, and then also, you know, get my, you know, get my, you know, Nie Zongwei, you know, the love of his life, right? That's, I think it's very funny. And I love the little nod of like, I have my own considerations. I can't marry her. Sorry. It's only Lan Tichen for me. And, that was really cute. And I love the whole, like, yeah, you just don't use Nie Mingzhuai's wok, and you can do whatever you want in the kitchen. Just don't use the wok. That's for him and Zhe Wujun to make their special meal together. And that's really cute as well. I love that. Anyway, I'm going to stop now before the author's notes become longer than the actual podfic. So I'm going to wrap it up right here and just say thanks for listening.